Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter and XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. You can find our podcast or anything you may have missed on demand by visiting our SoundCloud, Google, Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio app pages. Find us individually on Twitter. Ryan is at RyanL_Key. Dan is at Dan in the Studio. I am at AEC Bellino, and you can listen online all the time at MichiganSportsNetwork.com, MichiganSportsNetwork.com. A very exciting night of basketball tonight in the Big Ten. A late one this evening tonight. Number 3 Michigan hosts Rutgers for a 9 p.m. tip-off at Chrysler Center. The Wolverines, a 9.5-point favorite. Download the Twin Spires Casino and Sportsbook app today and enjoy this game, plus 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000 using the promo code FREE1000. We're having a little, I wouldn't say a debate, but a conversation right now with Doug on Twitter just about Sadiq Bey. He's telling me that I need to watch more Big East basketball. I just don't think that there was the expectation for Sadiq Bey to be what he has become thus far. I don't think that we necessarily expected as a Piston fan base for this young man to be, I don't know if I'd say as good as he is, but for this to happen as quickly as it has. You know, on the season, he's averaging 9 and 3, 9 and 3.5, basically.
I don't know. Just based off of Doug's comment, it just seems like he maybe just did a Google search about Sadiq Bey and just dropped that he's a 5-star and a top 20 player coming out of high school.
Well, he's a top 30 at his position. Not overall in the nation. 30, according to Rivals, he was, I think he was 20 or 30 at his position in the country, and a 4-star out of the DMV. But, I mean, going to Villanova, I mean, there's only so much basketball you can watch, and, you know, our concern is not the Big East. I can tell you that much. Big East basketball, you want to aggravate Doug? Tell him that the Big East isn't in the Power 5. That'll really get him going. But, you know, when he won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, not just, you know, Rookie of the Week, and maybe Terry Rozier should have won it last week, but hey, guy averaged almost 18 points and 5.5 rebounds in 4 games, and he hit 71% of his shots. He was 70% from 3. Like, that's fantastic. Fantastic. And it is a really nice, you know, feather in the cap for Sadiq to be able to have that, you know, that not only that award, but also to have that week that he had. And it's exciting for Pistons fans. You know, I look at last night's game against the Chicago Bulls. More on that one coming up. But it was like everything that you wanted the Pistons to do in one game. That much is for sure. Be competitive. Play well. Jeremy Grant played well. He had some great thoughts after the game as well. And then, you know, you end up losing, so you don't mess up the draft status with the opportunity to hopefully, select that cornerstone piece. It's just frustrating as a fan of these teams to continuously be thinking about the draft, right? It's
we go through every season
thinking about the draft.
Why do we have to? Are the Pistons getting better, seemingly?
Yes.
Did they have the number one pick? Did they have the number two? No, they went... They had the 7th pick, and mm-hmm. he's not even playing.
Yeah.
Why are we – who cares if we get a lottery pick? Keep playing basketball.
If we had the number one pick and we got LaMelo Ball at number one, we'd be singing a completely
okay,
different
Okay, but we
right
also
now.
Would – no, why? Would we have Sadiq Bey? But we wouldn't. There's a bunch of guys we wouldn't have if we had the number one overall pick?
I mean, what do we need? A point guard. Like, if we had LaMelo
Ball, we also just traded for one. We traded for a young point guard who was up and coming until he went to the worst organization in the league. So, I mean, I'm not... Dennis Smith Jr. could be something, and you know, with a year of tutelage.
He very well could be. He very well could be. That's possible. LaMelo Ball's averaging 15 and 6 and 6, like, as a rookie. And if you select him, you've changed your... You've as much as I don't like the Ball brothers, I don't like LaVar Ball, I don't like Lonzo Ball, and anybody shortening LaMelo's name to just Melo, they're referencing Carmelo Anthony. But if the Pistons had LaMelo Ball, it would be different. And Sadiq Bey fell to, what, 16 in the draft? So it's not to say that Troy Weaver... I mean, we had, what, 3 first-round picks this year? It's not to say that we couldn't have gotten him as well. But if you look at the upcoming draft, if you add a guy like a Cade Cunningham, it could be a difference maker. You know, you don't have to necessarily sit around and wait to see if Dennis Smith Jr. can get back to his rookie form, in which he averaged 15 a game as a rookie in Dallas. Like, I would love for nothing more than Dennis Smith Jr. to have a career resurgence in Detroit, along with Jeremy Grant, along with Josh Jackson, and these guys to really stick together, be our glue guys, throw in an Isaiah Stewart, throw in Sadiq Bey. Hell, even throw in Mason Plumlee into this conversation as well. You know, and for these guys to, you know, and Mason's on the other side and from an age standpoint, but for these guys to be able to grow, gel together, and be our going to work part two Pistons. Like, I'm all for that. But if you had a guy like LaMelo Ball, you wouldn't have to worry about the point guard position. If you had Tyrese Halliburton, you could still, if you selected Tyrese at 7, because he was there, you could still have Sadiq, you could still have Stewie, and you'd be getting 12, 4, and 5 every night. Pretty solid. It's going to take me some time to get over that one. It is. I'm just going to continuously look up Tyrese Halliburton statistics, and anytime Sacramento's on TV, on NBA TV, they're usually the late game if they are on. Try to watch that game, because it's like, all right, there's our guy. There he is, just playing for a different team. What else is going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Naomi Osaka beat Serena Williams in the Australian Open semis, 6-3, 6-4. She'll advance. Might have been Serena's last appearance there at the Australian Open. 39-year-old. I can't believe she's already 39. Family of Buccaneers and Chargers wide receiver Vincent Jackson told the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office that it believes he was suffering from chronic alcoholism and concussions at the time of his death. The Sheriff's Office said in a statement on Wednesday. The statement came after the county sheriff's coroner went to a local morning show on Q105 on Wednesday to discuss the death. The sheriff did, not the coroner, the sheriff did. The sheriff does not speak on behalf of the Jackson family. A spokesperson said a full autopsy report will not be available for weeks. Our focus right now is laying Vincent to rest. I don't know what kind of sheriff goes on a sports talk or any sort of talk radio show on Q105 to discuss somebody's death. Seems like that was in bad taste. GM Kevin Colbert gives a lukewarm assessment of Ben Roethlisberger's future with the Pittsburgh Steelers. How long are they going to do this? Are they going to do this every offseason where he kind of like mulls retirement but then doesn't retire?
Well, he's owed, or his cap hit would be $41 million this year.
Holy hell. That is a lot of money. $41 million.
So they're going to restructure. They basically said, hey, if you want to play for us, it's time to restructure right now.
Yeah, we can't do this. We're not going to be able to go get your friend TJ and Derek Watt's brother JJ if you got this albatross of a contract. By the way, is an AFC team, is the Buffalo Bills, is Buffalo making a run at JJ Watt? All I'm trying to do is manifest JJ Watt to anywhere except the NFC North. So he can go wherever he wants, just not the Green Bay. and not to Chicago. The Jaguars are going to return to teal for the primary uniform color. Carolina Panthers release a defensive tackle Kawan Short, two-time Pro Bowler. The Brooklyn Nets will be out without Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving is probable for their matchup against the LA Lakers. The NHL had to scrap a third game for the Dallas Stars. Now with this wintry weather in Texas, they've got bigger issues down there. The NCAA Division I Council has extended the recruiting dead period for all sports through May 31st. This is a huge miss by the NCAA, no doubt about it. We'll step aside. We're back with more X's and Bros after this. Why is a 6'8 seventh grader playing seventh grade hoops? We'll get into that next here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Hockey and basketball fans love scoring in nets, but what else do they have in common? A chance for an easy 100 from BetMGM. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. We want you to take advantage of the offer. Register for the King of Sportsbooks and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on Michigan hitting a three. Folks, that's a slam dunk, no pun intended. Simply sign up by using bonus code SHEPBET100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of the offer. Now look, maybe you've got more in common with other fans. Maybe it's hockey or football or baseball. That's okay. No matter your sport, BetMGM is where the stakes are always raised. Enjoy innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials for major payouts, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code SHEPBET100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Michigan Wolverines hitting a three. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Our lowest prices of the season are here at Meijer. Save across the store on hundreds of items, including Lay's party-sized potato chips. Get two for $6. Star-Kissed Chunk-Light Tuna, just 69 cents a can. And Glad 13-gallon kitchen trash bags are just $6.99 per box. Plus, enjoy free Meijer pickup on orders of $50 or more. Visit the Meijer app to get started. Enjoy the lowest prices of the season today at Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Brian Elke in the Motor City Studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Here's a crazy, crazy, if you haven't seen this floating around the internet just now, you might want to. By the way, find us on Twitter at XB Mornings. Our Twin Spires sports poll is up right now. How do you feel about tonight's game, Michigan? Michigan? You want Michigan? You want Michigan against Rutgers? We taking the over? What are we doing here? What's the consensus? Dan, Ryan,
ooh, the
where
over,
you guys
the over, what's that over
one,
under at?
135?
136 and a half.
Ooh, I do not like
so
that.
So I don't never like mind. The over. If it's Michigan minus 9.5, if I'm taking that, I don't like the over.
Can Michigan win by 10? I think so.
Yeah, that I believe so. But if they win by 10, it's not going to be.
Does Rutgers score more than 50
points?
It's
not going to be 80 to 60.
Yeah, Rutgers. I don't think
right.
Rutgers
won't
60.
Get to 60. No. That's what I'm saying. It'd be like 72-55. 40. A few garbage time points in the last minute for Rutgers.
Mm. Watch, it's an explosion, 100-70 or something crazy. Have you guys heard against Iowa? Have you guys heard of this Trevor Smith kid from Okemos?
No, but I did just see that video. Couple minutes ago, he's
a seventh grader. This is the class of 2026. He right now is the 18th ranked player nationally in the class of 2026. My question are, who in the hell are these other 17 kids? There's another Michigander on this list by the name of Peyton Kemp, who's ranked number 15 according to top25scouts.com. I just looked for the 2026 rankings, and they rank little kids, 6th and 7th grade basketball. Like, it's, what? This kid, Trevor Smith, playing in his first 7th grade game, is 6 feet 8 inches tall as a 13-year-old. He's 6'8". First off, one, Danny Almonte, where is the damn birth certificate? I need to see. Secondly, where are his parents? I need an interview. Third, is that hoop 10 feet tall? It should be. They're 7th graders. Because this kid is just dunking the basketball all over the place. He's running around with average little 7th graders. You know, kids that, you know, the big kid in 7th grade might be 6 feet tall. Maybe. This kid is 6'8". And he is just clowning these little kids. My question is, why is he playing 7th grade basketball? Like, where, like, whatever high school he...
Well, he's probably playing, you know, AAU of some sort.
I don't give a damn what league this is. This looks like regular church league right here. This looks like a CYO league.
Well, our friend Neil Rule, his broadcast partner, Dan Waterstrat, we went to the same elementary school. I graduated with his brother, but he was 6'7", 6'8", 7th and 8th grade. But CYO, you can't dunk until high school. So it wasn't really exciting. He would just lay it up all the time. But yeah, this kid is a freak. Like, and I don't want, he's not even a freak. Yeah, he is. He's 6'8". That's crazy. But it's not like it's impressive because he's a foot and a half taller than everyone.
Bro, they look like man, all I'm saying is, like, from an if this is AAU, whatever league this is, that he's running against average 7th graders. As somebody who spent a lot of time coaching junior high basketball, everybody else on the floor looks normal. He looks like an alien. Looks like a monster. And it's no, like, I'm not trying to harp on the kid. So if we have anybody in Okemos that's listening that knows this kid, I am all for this kid. If I am involved in this child's life, we're playing up. We're going up. Whatever high school he would go to, like, scrap the CYO. You're not worried about that. Like, AAU, like, if a coach tells you, oh, he's 13, play him 13U. I don't give a damn, AAU coach, what you think your record is or how great you think you are. We're going up. Like, we're immediately going straight to freshman or JV, depending on what high school you're going to and what team he can make. Like, this is not doing anything for anybody out there in that court. It's not doing anything for his development. And it's doing nothing but hurt all the other players because they can't do anything with a guy 6'8". You can't.
There's a kid on the other team in this video that's probably 4 foot nothing. And, like,
his shorts are dragging on the ground.
Like,
that's how tiny he is.
I've seen games like this. Like, I used to coach middle school wrestling, and I had to coach against Rocco Spindler of Clarkston when he was in middle school.
Oh, that was fun.
Right. I coached wrestling and football when he played. Like, every hit Rocco had in football was a helmet-to-helmet hit because he couldn't get low enough to hit the other kid in the chest. Like, all he could do.
How much bigger was he than everybody?
He, like, was 6'3", like, as a 7th grader.
Did other kids, like, live in fear? Were they just, like, is it like little giants, like, with the kids doing pull-ups off his dad's arm, and you're like, oh,
pretty
my
much.
Like,
and
we
wrestling,
have to play Rocco's team.
Wrestling you can get away with easy because, like, wrestlers, if you're that much better, you take it easier, do a couple moves, pin the kid in a minute. Like,
and it's
there's an easy way to get around it. Football, there's no way getting around that. You're getting hit, and you're getting hit hard.
How long are your quarters?
I think they're like 8 minutes.
32 minutes of hell.
Yeah.
He walks onto the foot. Like, can you imagine me and Rocco Spindler as a 7th
grader? I mean,
grader?
He played both. I think he played both sides of the ball in high school. Back then, he was the whole team.
So we had rules on how heavy you could be to be a ball carrier. Couldn't be over 150. We had to have, like, weigh-ins, and you. If you were over 150, you couldn't tote the rock. Although one of the kids in our league, he was as an 8th grader, dude, he was just ripped. I can't remember what his name was to save my life right now. It'll come to me. But it was like, this dude would get the football, and he was just running over kids. And it was like, this guy is a monster. Like, how did he get that big? But this Trevor Smith kid, like, God bless him. Two things. I'm glad to see that there's two youngsters from the state of Michigan ranked in the top 20 in the nation. Right? One, that's very important. Two, we got to do something. Get this kid up. Like, get him to freshman or get him to JV if he can play there.
Can he guard better than Joey Hauser?
A lot of comments here about Thomas Kithier, too. Yeah, those guys are going to take this kid to the woodshed. Don't get it twisted. I know it's fun to joke about and clown these college athletes, but come on now.
I just said defend. I didn't say play better. Joey Hauser's a space cadet on defense.
No, he's not. He's not defending either one of those. Like, let's.
I don't
be
want
real.
Him to defend Joey Hauser. I just want him. Can he just help on a double team?
Can he come over and trap?
That's all. That's all I'm asking.
Can we ice a ball screen real quick? But for him, for his family, for all the kids out there, you gotta move him up. You cannot continue to play him. And if it's an AAU league, dude, put him on the U16 or U17s. It's going to do nothing but help him moving forward. Because this, like, he's literally catching the ball, rip, step through, two dribbles, dunk. And nobody can stop that. Nobody can stop it.
Yeah, but it might be a little dicey with COVID right now, you know? I'm just saying, like, this is, like, not the time to be, hey, go play with all these high school kids. Okay, now you have to go to seventh grade again tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, this just, pandemic time is not a good time for that.
I don't know. How did COVID, like, what's the difference between playing with seventh graders versus high school?
Because it's just, you're not supposed to be interacting with more people than you have to, is my point.
Oh, okay, so he's playing in a different league now, so he's exposed to those kids. But we could cancel that out. Well, I don't know, because if he's playing with high school kids and they're exposed to people, contact tracing, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows the rules when it comes to...
You know the MHSAA is backwards about this. Huh? You know that the MHSAA has been behind in elevating schools, programs, and players. They've been behind for years. Like the fact that, you know, some of the best teams in Detroit aren't going to Cleveland, aren't going to, like, expand a little bit. It's like the MHSAA just wants, like, hey, this is our league, and we're going to keep it all to ourselves, and nobody else can, like, it's ridiculous. Like, if you've got great players and great talent, you need to showcase that to the rest of the country. Like, hey, Michigan's a great place to live. Look at all these great sports teams we have. We're really good at the AAU circuit. Not so good in Detroit when it comes to pro sports, but that's neither here nor there. If I'm Trevor Smith, writing a letter, please let me play up. Coaching staff, bring that kid up. Parents, do it. You want him on the bus with the older kids? I don't know. It's you know, do some parenting and be done with it. But get him up. We'll step aside when we return, and good luck for him. We'll get to all the texts that are coming in, and we'll talk about Juwan Howard speaking to the media. I absolutely love this dude. We'll get into that next here on X's and Bros of the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino here on behalf of TwinSpires Online Sportsbook, Racing, and Casino. TwinSpires is now live in Michigan, and they're offering new players their best offer yet with up to $1,000 in risk-free bets. TwinSpires is backed by the same team as the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs Racetrack and brings over 140 years of tradition, excitement, and wagering experience. Whether you're an avid gambler or a first-timer, they've got your bets. And now with Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre on board as the Sportsbook Ambassador, TwinSpires is coming out of the starting gates with their best offer yet. For new players in Michigan, TwinSpires will give you 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000. You heard that right, up to $1,000 in one whole week to try your luck. Bet on the game this weekend, or if you're bored at work, give European soccer a shot, risk-free from your phone. Just download the TwinSpires Casino and Sportsbook app today and enter the promo code FREE1000 to participate. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit www.twinspires.com. Must be 21 years of age and older and physically present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
So what's your reason for feeling lousy today? Round number birthday or just another one? Glory days with the college buddies, game went to overtime, or was it Tuesday? Whatever, you need to lose the hangover and get with the program. And that's why you need Blow Low. Blow Low is a sobering aid that clears your head and helps reinvigorate and energize your body. Blow Low assists in eliminating hangovers with a proven metabolism accelerator, helping to break down toxins and reduce alcohol levels up to 50%, and all in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Blow Low can eliminate breath odor from marijuana, cigarettes, alcohol, and more. Visit blowlow.com, that's BLOWLOW.com today, and feel better in as little as 15 minutes. Your next birthday, overtime, glory days, day of the week party will go down better, and you'll feel better the next day. blowlow.com, use the promo code HUGE for free shipping. Blow Low encourages everyone who consumes alcohol to act responsibly. Please don't drink and drive. Statements not evaluated by the FDA.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming from the Radio Bunker. Great to have you riding along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. How about this? Fernando Tatis Jr. at 22 years old just signed a 14-year, $340 million contract. At 22 years of age. That's crazy.
You want to know what's crazier?
What's nothing?
Bobby Bonilla's deal will still have one more year on it when that contract is over.
That's not crazier than being 22 years old getting $340 million. Can you imagine?
Well, I can imagine. I have that's just an insane amount of money for anyone. But the thing is, like, how much money did he leave on the table by doing this? Like, in 3 or 4 years, what if he wins 2 or 3 MVPs in a row? And it could have been $500 million instead of 340.
I mean, coming from the Dominican Republic, like, he was born in 1999, just for the record, in January. So he just turned 22. Like, coming from the DR where they're making like $300 a month, $340 million. Bro, can he even go back home? Can he even go back home?
Well, I don't think he was born in the Dominican, was he? I'm sure his dad was here by 1999.
No, San Pedro, Dominican.
Well, can you go back? What do you mean? You think like there's going to be money on his head or something? Or you just don't think?
I think you got to get. I mean, they shot Big Poppy at a bar. You got to get every family member that you have you got to get them all out. Like that's a legitimate concern when you start looking at second and third world countries. Like, that is a legitimate concern. Like, baseball players who have a lot of money, they go after their family. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not like that's an awesome deal. 14 years, $340 million. But that's a legitimate concern that we can't comprehend that because it doesn't happen here. You know, we had somebody broke into Sean Taylor's home and shot him. You know, we get random stuff like that. Here they're like, oh wait, you got how much money? Yeah, we're gonna need some of that. You can send it down here. Like, whew. Yeah, I don't know. Big Poppy got shot in a bar, and he's a Dominican hero. It's different. It's different. Like, every place is not here. That much is for sure. Every place is not here. The Michigan head coach Juwan Howard. So we shift gears here. Juwan had a media availability, and there was a question that was asked, and it was a funny question. It's not really a funny question, but it's a question that, you know, people have talked about, because when Juwan Howard was hired, one of the things that I never understood when he was hired was, why are there so many doubters about a guy who played at the University of Michigan, signed the first 9-figure contract in NBA history, played, what, 14 seasons or 19 seasons in the NBA, whatever that number was an assistant coach for the Miami Heat for 6 years. Like, why did people think like he couldn't coach? I had this conversation with somebody yesterday at the game I was working. He was like, well, you know, I thought when Juwan got hired, Phil Martelli was going to be the coach. Like, he brought in a guy with head coaching experience at the college level, but did you, like, what about his resume? Like, why would you think that all of a sudden, like, this guy can't coach? I never understood that. I was excited as hell, and I'm like, all right. In the article that was posted to M Live, Andrew Kahn had asked the question, and you'll hear Juwan's response to it, because Andrew Kahn actually quoted one of a radio host in the area that said that this was a PR stunt and showed that they couldn't get a quality candidate. Right? Said radio host has since owned it. And it's not a bit like, hey, you're going to be wrong at times. You throw out enough opinions on things, you talk for a living, and you're going to have some hits, you're going to have some misses. And a lot of people missed on Juwan Howard. For a team that was, you know, Big Ten preseason number 6, for them to be number 3 in the country and hold that pretty firm is incredibly impressive. The way that this team has gotten better every week, incredibly impressive. The depth of this team, the ways that they can beat you, and the fact that when you watch them play, it truly does look like they play for one another. I think that that's probably one of the most exciting things about this Michigan basketball team is when watch them tonight in any game you want to. They enjoy playing with each other. They enjoy working with and working for each other. You see it in the bench. You see it in the staff. You see it on the floor. It doesn't matter who's in. It doesn't matter who's getting the rock, who's scoring. We make such a big deal over who gets the last shot. The guy who's open should get the last shot. Like, that's what it should be. And you got to have guys that can hit that shot. Michigan has that. You know, Xavier Simpson moving on wasn't a prolific threat from three. Sure, he had it a couple of nice games where teams would leave him open because it's like, we dare you to shoot it. Wasn't a great free throw shooter, but was an incredibly good point guard. When he was leaving and moving on after graduation, the question was, who's going to fill this void that's left here at point guard? This is the question that Michigan State is asking themselves right now. There's no, you can't replace Cassius Winston. He was too good. He was too important. He's an all-time great at Michigan State. And he got robbed of probably eternal glory, if you will, when COVID happened and it shut down the NCAA tournament. Xavier Tillman as well, but for Cassius, for this conversation, when Xavier Simpson moves on from Michigan, they still have Eli Brooks, and then they bring in Mike Smith, a transfer from Columbia, a graduate from Columbia. Dude's got the intelligence. He's got the demeanor. He's got everything you want. And that gives Eli an opportunity to play more at the two, so they can bring out Mike Smith and Eli, or they can rotate him at point guard if that's what the situation calls for. You know, you have Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers, Hunter Dickinson, Big Country, Custard Shaq, Austin Davis, Sean D. Brown Jr. coming in off the bench, giving you incredible, incredible defensive effort. And, oh, by the way, just scored his 1,000th collegiate point, so congratulations to him. Like, this team is fabulous. They work hard. They play defense. It took them one half to shake off 23 days of rust before they absolutely shut Wisconsin down, held them to 25% shooting in the second half, and they missed their last 11 three-point field goal attempts in the game. Stifling defense. Brad Davison, that little dirty cheater running around out there, huh? Throwing elbows and stuff. 3 points, 1 of 6 from the field. Did Juwan Howard hear some of the negative thoughts, critiques, and criticisms of Michigan hiring him? Like, the fact that Michigan went back to the alumni well to get one of their own, I thought was great. The fact that it was a man from the Fab Five, can't get better. The fact that it's Juwan Howard, family man, couple kids, wife, he brings that to the table. He's not here for money. The money doesn't matter. He's got NBA championships already. Like, he is here to help get that national title as a coach that he didn't get as a player. He's here to bring Michigan basketball back, but bring him back from what? Because John Beilein did a hell of a job. There's zero complaint there whatsoever. It's one of the easiest, smoothest transitions from coach to coach in college history. We're going to get into Juwan's audio. I believe we have Steve on the phone. Is Steve still there, Dan?
Correct.
Okay, Steve, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Anthony. Good morning, Anthony. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Good. Yeah, Michigan basketball. I want to talk about total games in the Big Ten. And there's a couple numbers here, and I'll go slow. But Michigan has played 10 Big Ten games, and they played 15 overall. Illinois, I just picked the top three here. Illinois has played 14 games in the Big Ten, 20 overall. Ohio State's played 15 in the Big Ten, 21 overall. My question to you guys is, how does all this play out? Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Steve, for the call. You can hop in on the Auto Valley guest line if you would like to. Just give us a dial at 313-396-5527. I just burned the hell out of my mouth drinking this tea right here. How does it all play out? You go by winning percentage. But the game that's most important right now to make up over the postponement is the game against Illinois. Like, that's the Big Ten has already stated they're not worried about rematches. They want to try to get everybody to play everybody else. Michigan's played a total of 15 games. Ohio State's played 21. Maryland's already played 23 games. Nebraska's played 19. 18 for Northwestern, 17 for Penn State. Michigan State's played 19. You know, we're all over the board right now. And that's what happens when you got to take 23 days off. You're going to miss, what, 2 games a week? 3 weeks? So it's I would imagine that the Big Ten, the regular season title will go to the team with the highest winning percentage. And this Michigan-Ohio State game, I don't want to overlook tonight's game against Rutgers, because that's one you got to take care of business. I mean, Rutgers comes in at 8-7 in conference play, 12-7 overall. You got to take care of business against Rutgers. But if they get this win tonight, then they look forward to number 4 in the country, Ohio State, on the road in Columbus, rivalry game. Like, that is huge, huge right now. And the way that it shakes out in the standings is they actually have Michigan at 1 in a tie with Illinois, even though Illinois is 11-3, and they have Ohio State a half a game back at 11-4. So because of the differential in games played there, be interesting to see how this works out. But Michigan is 4-1 against the AP top 25. Illinois 3-3. How about this stat? Ohio State 5-1 right now against the top 25. They're scary. They are scary right now. Ohio State is. Here is the question that was asked. Here is Juwan Howard's response. I love it. And this is what he has to say in response to, you know, some of the critiques and criticism about his hire and him taking over the job there at Michigan.
You're cute there, Andrew. Of course I've heard it. And, you know, you're trying to get me, you know, to make this I'm not saying you're trying to get me, but, you know, I'm not here to make this a big issue. I just want to tell you this, that, you know, I've always been very extremely competitive since I started, you know, playing sports, whether it was basketball, baseball. I didn't play competitive football, but in our neighborhoods, we played against each neighborhood in a park in football, and it was tackle football where with no equipment. So that level of mental toughness has prepared me for whatever has been thrown in my direction. And, you know, yeah, I hear the doubters. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, act like I don't hear the noise before I got hired. And also, still to this day, I hear the backhand compliments. And am I competitive? Of course I am. But I'm also about improving and having the growth mindset on how I can get better to be the best version of myself to help prepare this team, and more importantly, to represent this fine institution the best way possible. And that's my number one goal. That's what thrives me. That's what really, you know, excites me. And then also, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about plays, thinking about defensive situations, thinking about how I can get better, how I can help prepare the team, because I'm a perfectionist. And I have that, you know, if you see my desk now, you know, I'm a very organized person, but my wife say, you know, I have this type A personality, and that's how I'm wired. And I wouldn't have been able to last 19 years in the NBA if I didn't have a certain edge about me. To get back into coaching, you know, like for 6 years, you know, as assistant coach, you know, the Miami Heat staff, and also I took it upon myself to prepare myself to become a head coach someday. And so I worked at this, and I'm going to continue to keep working. I love it. Like, people don't always doubt or have their, as we would say, opinions, and they have every right to voice their opinion.
Yeah, that's audio courtesy of the Michigan Insider, our friend Josh Henschke over there at 24/7 Sports. I thought that was, you know, I like the fact that he said, "Yo, you're trying to get me." Well, no, wait a minute, you're not trying to get me. He's well thought out in what he wants to do and how he wants to present not only himself, but also this program. And I think that, you know, him saying like, yeah, I hear it. Of course I hear it. Of course you hear it. These coaches hear everything. They pay attention to stuff. You know, there was the picture of Kobe on the plane, you know, read the newspaper. You know, there's been, Michael Jordan, the same thing, reading the newspaper on the plane, right? That's how these guys used to get their news. Now you just go to your phone. You can see everything. You can see everything right on your phone. You know, if you are at that level, you turn Twitter notifications off. That's what you do. You know, people that want to second guess his lineup changes or why he's playing this guy this many minutes. And, you know, early in the season, I was excited to see Zeb Jackson because I saw him as a high schooler before he, you know, traveled down to Florida. And I wanted to see what he could bring to the table. He's got it, but it's going to take him, you know, it's going to take him some time. But he is, you know, crazy good athlete. Definitely a shoot first kind of guy. He never saw a shot he didn't like twice. But it's an idea that, you know, Juwan Howard is building this program, and this program is taking on an identity the way that he wants them to, what he wants this program, what he thinks Michigan basketball is supposed to be. And the people that didn't think that he would be able to do it, like, you're talking about if he, Calipari, and Krzyzewski, and I'll throw Izzo in there too because he's a great, if those four guys are going to walk into your living room as a high school kid, and there are no McDonald's bags full of cash, who do you think you're going to listen to? You'll listen to all of their presentations. But when it comes down to, okay, I've got four coaches walking in my living room, Cal, Kay, Izzo, and Juwan Howard, where do you think I'm going to go? Anybody else play in the NBA? Because that's what I'm trying to do. Like, can you show me how to get there? Can you teach me how to get there? Like, well, that's
Coach Cal easily. Does have the track record of getting tons of guys to the NBA in a one-and-done fashion.
Very true.
So I will give some love to Coach Cal because, like I've said years ago, like there's a point where Coach Cal doesn't have to drop the McDonald's bag anymore. He can just show him all the jerseys on his wall.
Right, but as a young man, as a player, Coach Cal can't give me the life lessons that Juwan has learned as a player and as a coach in the league. So I
this morally high ground standpoint, and we know college recruiting isn't necessarily all about that.
Who's going into moral high ground? All I'm saying is if I'm a kid.
Juwan Howard can teach me great life lessons.
About how to be a pro. I'm talking specifically to the NBA.
I know.
There's one guy that has NBA playing experience in that list.
And I get your point, but you're also assuming that, like, yeah, like that's what the 17-year-old, 16-year-old kid is thinking about is life lessons as a pro basketball player when Coach Cal's like, I'll get you as a lottery pick right now. I can get you there. Look at all the people I've done it with.
I see you there. I see your point. And mine isn't necessarily like, I don't know, like
so I
get, life lessons as a pro. I'm talking like, about like, teach me how to be a pro. Like Cal's like, yeah, I can get you that. Like, look at all my lottery picks I've had. We're not going to win the tournament because that's not what we do. We're not interested in that.
Well, Juwan Howard hasn't even played in a tournament yet because of last year.
Here we go.
No, I'm just, well, you're the one that brought up tournament experience.
I can't believe he hasn't been to 12 of them in 2 years.
Well, I'm not saying it's a knock on him, but you can't say Cal doesn't win a tournament when Juwan Howard's about to just coach in his first.
Excited for it, that's for sure. We'll step aside. A little Sparty resentment there at the end. We got to get to your text as well. We're coming back. Hour number three. We're going to start some Spartan hoops with David Klein coming up next here on X's and Bros of the Michigan Sports Network.
It's time to go on the court with Anthony Bellino.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of action and excitement because it's a new day for winning only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com. The Michigan basketball team finally got back on the court after their 23-day layoff this past Sunday as the Wolverines, the number 3 team in the country according to both the AP Top 25 and KenPom rankings, hit the hardwood against the 21st-ranked Wisconsin Badgers. It took just 20 minutes for the Maize and Blue to knock off the rust of their layoff as they were down 12 at the end of the first half. The second half, however, Michigan rallied back behind a stout defensive effort that held Wisconsin to just 25% from the field and forced the Badgers to miss their final 11 three-point attempts. Isaiah Livers led Michigan once again with a 20.7 rebound effort while the fabulous freshman Hunter Dickinson went for 11-15. Michigan improved to 14-1 overall and 9-1 in Big Ten conference play. They'll look to improve on those numbers with a late one tonight against Rutgers at 9 p.m. on FS1 and then again on Sunday as they'll head to Columbus to face the 4th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes on CBS.
Bill Simonson here for Tom Rosenbach, the managing partner at Bean Garter. He wanted me to get the message out that Bean Carter is here to help. If you've applied for a loan through the Paycheck Protection Program and need assistance applying for forgiveness, Bean Carter and their professionals will work with you to prepare a draft application, estimate your loan forgiveness amount, and certify how you used your loan funds. They have the knowledge and experience to make sure you're getting the most loan forgiveness possible. They make it easy so you have more time to focus on what's important, taking care of your business and your people. Learn more at beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief. You can learn more on how the professionals at Bean Carter can help you in applying for forgiveness with paycheck protection programs. Go to beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief.
At Meijer, your health and safety is our first priority. That's why Meijer Pharmacy has partnered with the CDC to administer free COVID-19 vaccinations when they become available to us. Register now to get your free COVID vaccinations at Meijer and get updates to your phone. Text COVID to 75049 to get started. That's COVID to 75049. You can also visit your Meijer pharmacist or go to clinic.meijer.com for more information.